mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the epistle for this Lord's Day, Philippians 3, the 20th and 21st verses, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." And from the Gospel for this day, the 22nd chapter of St. Matthew, the 21st verse, "Then Jesus said to them, therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When I was a student in seminary, preparing for the holy ministry, we were taught to avoid using languages in our preaching that are unfamiliar to most of our hearers. But there are times when the use of an unfamiliar language can help to make a point. And so this morning I want to begin by using three words in the Latin language, which I began to learn in the high school just across the street way back in 1955. These three words were in fact spoken with great pride by the citizens of the vast Roman Empire in the time of Christ. And the words are these: Civis Romanus sum. Civis Romanus sum, meaning I am a Roman citizen. I am a Roman citizen. One such citizen was Saul of Tarsus, who became St. Paul the Apostle. And Paul did not hesitate to appeal to the privileges that were his as a Roman citizen. One such privilege was that as a Roman citizen, he couldn't be flogged. And so St. Luke tells us twice in the book of Acts that when Paul was about to be flogged, he immediately said that he was a Roman citizen, and so he escaped that particular form of punishment. Both the epistle and the gospel for this Sunday speak of citizenship. The epistle directly, and the gospel indirectly. In the epistle, St. Paul writes, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And in the Holy Gospel for this Lord's Day, the Savior himself says, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." In today's epistle, St. Paul is writing to the Christian congregation in the city of Philippi, which happened to be a Roman colony. Well, what was a Roman colony? A Roman colony was quite simply one of a number of cities in the Roman Empire whose inhabitants had been given the dignity and privileges of being Roman citizens. And so when Paul writes to the church in Philippi, a church he had founded, Paul reminds these citizens of Philippi, of Rome, of an even greater citizenship. Indeed, the eternal citizenship that is theirs as belonging to Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who at his glorious coming again will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power which enables him to subject all things to himself. As the church year draws to a close, with Advent just around the corner, our attention is constantly being drawn to the great and unshakable hope that is ours as those who belong to Christ. Those Philippian Christians would readily understand that just as they were citizens of Rome, the great capital city of the empire, just so they are citizens of an even greater city, the heavenly Jerusalem, a citizenship which lasts not just for a time and then is no more, but rather an eternal citizenship. And Paul says that their lives should in fact show that they are indeed citizens of heaven. And so Paul says, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with mind set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we, like those early Christians in Philippi, are through baptism into Jesus, citizens of heaven. And we, like them, are also citizens of the country in which we live. And with regard to that citizenship, the Lord Jesus instructs us that we are to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. The Lord Jesus never advocated rebellion against the civil authority, nor did he ever condone disobedience to it. Unless the civil authority should command us to do something that is contrary to the revealed will of God. And if the civil authority does that, then as citizens of heaven, we can and we must reply as did St. Peter when the high priest's council commanded the apostles not to proclaim the saving death and resurrection of Jesus. We must obey God rather than men. We must obey God rather than men. I believe we all know that no human government, no country on this earth has ever come close to perfection, nor has ours. And it is also beyond doubt that just as our country has much for which we can and we must be grateful, there is also much of which we can only be ashamed. we think of the monstrous evil of slavery, which was only well and truly abolished after 4 whole years of a bloody civil war. And for well over a century after the formal abolition of slavery, there were still in this country, yes, in this state of Maryland, and yes, in this city of Baltimore, customs and even laws which were a terrible insult to the dignity and even a threat to the lives of citizens of African descent. Would that that were only an old and sad tale. But the fact of the matter is that it is part of living memory. And yes, the end is not yet. We think, too, of the often merciless treatment of the Native American population, of the internment of countless innocent Japanese citizens during the Second World War for no better reason than that they happened to be Japanese. Now, all of these horrors can be understood. As the old saying has it, it is fear that makes men cruel. It is fear that makes men cruel. And I submit that these horrors are largely rooted in fear, real or imaginary. But they remain truly monstrous evils, which, as God gives us opportunity, according to our place in life, we should use whatever influence and power we might have to remedy in the light of the law of love. We also need to be mindful of the fact that fallible human beings like ourselves will at times find ourselves disagreeing about how best to do this. In the church, we citizens of heaven are united in one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But it's not to be expected that we will necessarily be united in our opinions concerning those things which have to do with our temporary citizenship in this world, which is passing away. Can anyone doubt that that is especially necessary to remember in a time when passions seem to be so inflamed? Says the psalmist, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." And God says through the prophet Jeremiah, as we heard Jeremiah's words toward the beginning of the service of this Lord's Day, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen."